Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of IndieWood on KPC Radio. I'm your host, Steve Lopez, and as usual, we're going to be entering the beautiful avenues of filmmaking. And today is a very special episode because we're actually having a guest from out of state. And they're not with us in the studio right now. They're back home in their home state, in their city of Seattle, correct? Yeah. And so, to give you guys a little summary of this guy, he's an indie filmmaker from the northern Seattle area. He started his own production company with his best friend. The production company is called Whole 17 Films under the license of Thespian Studios. They have a very raw, interesting indie vibe, and I can't wait for you guys to talk to him. So, welcome, Banjo Carmichael. How's it going? Pretty good. So, I'm going to start us off as, how'd you get into filmmaking?
That was just kind of where it took off from.
Really? So did you guys just say, hey, why not just start making movies instead of just like, oh, let's make some deep, big project first. Let's just make something for the fun of it.
Yeah, we used to just kind of steal my dad's little video camera and we would learn how to create little skits and stuff. And one of them, I actually broke the bed that I had at the time.
Could you maybe, if you want, give us the little story of that?
Yeah, sure. It's somewhere on YouTube. I'm positive I can find it and send it to you if you want to have it. What happened was he had this little camera that we were using, and I disappeared, and there's this video that he has on there, and he's going, Banjo, Banjo. All of a sudden, in the distance, you hear this, like, Indian cry, and down from my brother's bunk bed, which sat just above mine, comes me. And you hear the bed, it bounces, and it goes, and it cracks, and it's just a goner after that.
Okay. But how was the, I guess you say, not the physical feeling, but the, I guess you say, emotional toll of, hey, you made a film, but now it actually affected your life, in a sense?
For like at the moment right now?
Just a general sense of you made a film that it cost you essentially.
Yeah, it's a weird feeling, but it feels like a big step forward. Like this one we just did, just wrapped it up like a week ago or 2 weeks ago. Today actually.
Really?
Today we shot on April 18th. That was the first day. It was a Thursday. And it was a big project that we had to do because we had to book locations officially because it was through like a college, you know? Mm-hmm. I know the head of security just as a family friend. And so that was easy. But then the harder part was finding, you know, we needed like 20 or 30 people, but we knew we could make 10 work with what we wanted to do. Part was trying to get enough people together and figuring out, well, they're working for free, so what do we do? We should feed them. That's what we got to do.
It was just
a big process because we got to learn a lot. And now it's kind of coming with us when we go to other events and other places and stuff like that. And it's just another thing we can learn from.
Speaking about that, since you have this very, I guess for lack of a better phrase, very raw indie feel, how do you go about making movies? Is it impulsive, or is there moments of you just thinking about, hey, we should not do this, we should not do this, I don't want to do this?
That's an interesting one. So film, what we do is we always come up with an idea.
Yeah.
But, you know, rewind 2-3 years. We made these series of videos. They were called the Untitled Videos. And there's a reel of them somewhere, I'm sure, that I could show you eventually. We would just take my dad's camera. We were probably 14 when we did the first one. And we would just record a bunch of different little skits. It was a lot of fun because we got to learn how to do things. You know, this first one that we did was the first time we ever really like did a music video or anything. And then people saw that we got brought on to do the skit for our entire graduating class for our homecoming during sophomore year.
Go on. It's all right.
Oh, okay.
Listen to you loud and clear.
What happened was we forgot to give the video a title when we exported it.
Oh, okay.
And we said, well, that fits. That'll just be it. And then we learned how to, with these videos, was where we learned how to do everything, where we developed our process. The second untitled one, we used the first time we ever used a microphone.
Oh, wow.
The third one was the first time we ever planned anything out or scripted anything. Fourth one, other stuff. Fifth one, special effects.
Would you argue
really adapted us to where we're at now?
Oh, wow. Would you say that, because given most of the people are either taught in school or through some other medium, would you say that you and your friend, Neo King, correct? Is a name.
Yeah.
Is? Yeah. Would you too say that your guys are mostly self-taught than anything?
Yeah, there's not a whole lot that we ever have taken classes for. Neo,
oh, really?
Especially, he's a real smart guy, you know. Ever get a chance to talk to him, you can ask him about anything he's interested in. He can just talk for hours.
I would bet.
Really smart guy, so it doesn't really take a lot for him to learn something. You can give him a guitar and he'll learn how to play it in 5 minutes. He's an interesting-minded guy.
And how do you two just come about this whole filmmaking thing? Have you guys always been friends, or is this a meeting that you
kind
guys
of.
Like?
When we first met, we were 11 years old, and we had a little feud with each other, but we were 11, so it was just...
Yeah. Kids.
Yeah, and then we were in our 6th grade class together the next year, and... together is because I wanted to borrow his homework answers. I told him I'd pay him $2 for it, which I never paid him. Friends, and we discovered we both liked movies, and we decided to go from there.
Speaking about that, going on to the topic of collaborative efforts, how does it feel to make films with someone you're just so close with?
The best feeling in the world. It really is. You know, because it's like you have your best friends, they're like brother or a sister to you. It's like you get to do what you both love more than just about anything in the world with one of the closest people in the world. It's compared to, because it's such an amazing time. And when I look back through photos that people have taken on set, it's really cool to kind of go through and see the quote-unquote the dynamic duo at work, you know, and you can see the smile in people's faces, and when you really learn how to read a person, you can tell. Really cool experience.
Now, when you two work together, I can generally see from seeing your work that there's a lot of good synergy between you guys, but is there ever moments of creative difference?
Yeah, absolutely. And normally the way we solve that is just to compromise, because typically we're a little ahead of schedule, because the way we were in our theater group in high school, our director was, we were always behind schedule a little bit, or we were like ahead of the schedule, because he always had us working really hard.
Yeah.
And so we took that, and we're always ahead of our schedule now, and there's some kind of creative difference, we'll either just go to, well, let's give it the most literal interpretation of the script or storyboard, so there's no, or we'll say, well, we have the extra time, let's just do it both ways and see which works better. And we did that on the last one we just did. We had to get a shot of a bunch of people walking backwards with this other guy walking forward, and he said, well, I think we should do right it in reverse and then reverse it afterwards. And I was saying the opposite. And we said, well, you know what, let's just do it both ways and problem solved.
That's actually really great to hear. Speaking about that, since you two seem to have that really strong synergy with each other, how do you two go about, I guess you can say, making a film from conception?
long process. You know, any filmmaker you talk to, from an outside perspective, filmmaking is kind of a glorious hobby. You know, when you look at like Hollywood and stuff.
Yeah.
Get down to the roots and to the bones of it, down to like even Hollywood. You know, you hear about all kinds of crazy things that happen. And you're filming with no money, and it's a little harder. It's definitely a cool thing to get to try and do when it's completed.
And when you two make your film together, how easy is it for you guys to find crew?
It kind of depends on doing and when we're doing it, because a lot of the people that we on to help us are either, you know, a year younger than us, so they're still just about to graduate, or they're our age and they're off in college. And so it's kind of an interesting challenge, but we typically just have the same, other than the two of us, we typically have one other guy, maybe my brother, with us too. So four.
Do you enjoy the idea of working with people who are so close to you? And have you ever considered the idea of working with people who are complete strangers to you?
Absolutely. I've been on plenty of projects before where I'm working with people who I have absolutely no clue who they are. But it always ends up being great. Just like, you know, maybe I got lucky and got a bunch of great people in the cast or crew, whatever the deal is, but definitely something I've done and would without doubt do it again. I think it's the only way you can make more connections. And working with family or close friends is also just better than anything, though, because you just know what the other people are thinking. You guys can something if something goes wrong. It's just the coolest thing.
Speaking about, you know, friendship and family, this production company that you made, Hole 17, was by you and your best friend, Neo King. How did you guys make come up with the name?
So, originally, we went with TK, which was our initials. His name is Tian, and his family name is King, so that was where we came up with it. We were going to call it Teen King. Like, that's what it was when we were 12 years old. Yeah. But kind of became an unfitting name as we got older, especially in the last year or so, because I started deciding I'm going to go by Banjo Carmichael. My personal name, if it's going to be such a public thing that I'm trying to do, you know?
Yeah.
Thespian Studios.
Yes.
Was everything we learned and everything. A lot of the stuff that we did full time was for our theater group. So we decided Thespian Studios was kind of a good name. And Hole 17 was one that I came up with as kind of a subsidiary. Because my great grandparents and now my grandparents have this house in Arizona in Mesa in Apache Wells, right on the 17th hole of the golf course. It's beautiful. It has a great fruit tree. You know, this whole 17 films, it's kind of has a nice ring to it.
I would agree. And on the topic of the films you guys make, what's the general, if you could genre yourself at the moment, what would you see yourself as if you could?
As far as what we've already made, I would say we're definitely drama. Have, you know, some comedy in the works. Like, actually at the moment we're starting to work on a new, be more comedic, and stuff we've done before, but you know, it's never gonna see the light of day because it's just terrible. We've done other stuff like that, but I would say as far as really done, it's dramatic for sure.
Would you argue that dramatic, I guess you could say genre or idea, is centered around your background and King's background in theater?
We learned a lot in our theater class. Our director, teacher was amazing at his job, you know. We, at the end of the year, we were all so close that when the group had to break up and kind of go separate ways, it was like the most horrible feeling in the world. But just, sorry, did that cut out at all?
No.
Not on my end. He would teach us about how to make a schedule and stick to it. And he would put us in these production groups for marketing, set design specialists to make the theater kind of have the theme of the show. Props, and I think that was it. I think that's all five of them. Someone to design the poster. But he would put us in these segregated groups so that we would learn how to stick to our tasks. And we all had deadlines, and he would ask us, what are your deadlines? When are you going to have this done? Is that done yet? What's going to happen? What's your plan with this? And it really taught us how to stick to a schedule and develop a good, solid plan before we jump into anything that we may not be able to handle. So I would say it's definitely we learned how to do, and the way we say a lot of our background is built from theater.
Now, the big thing I'm getting from it is scheduling is a big thing you learn from theater. What other specifics can you tell us that bled from your theater background into your filmmaking status?
Communication is definitely the number one thing aside from scheduling. And so is, scheduling, communication. I learned how to use all kinds of tools, and I can build stuff.
Wow.
And all that kind of thing. I can tear them down. I learned theater technology, including the fly system, sound system. I learned a lot for filmmaking just by making plays or filming a show that we wanted to have filmed. So, a lot. All the way down to like just general hobby stuff that I sat in the green room and played with in my free time. I mean, communication is, if I was going to definitely pick like one or two, it'd be communication, and I forgot what some of the other ones were.
It's all right.
But yeah.
What would you see your communicate? Like, could you give us an example of what this communication skill you learned in theater affected you in a specific film? Like a story about how you can tell that your communication skills are very well endowed.
Sure. I remember the first short film that I ever did, Curtain Call, and it's interesting because it actually took me like 2 years to complete it.
Oh, wow.
So I had cast it and I had everything ready to go, but I didn't actually spend enough time logically scheduling it out. So we were stuck to like 2 hours to film five scenes in a spot, and it's like, ah. So that one didn't actually get totally finished until I just completely gripped in the story pretty much everything I had and said, okay, this ending, I'm just going to have to cut up the monologue from the beginning and put that throughout the thing, throughout the short film. Just get the shots myself and just make sure that none of me that would make me unrecognizable is in it.
No.
Didn't actually get finished until fairly recently, and it's up on YouTube. I don't know exactly when it went up, but that's about when it was done.
That's actually a rather interesting story.
Jaded. Sorry, say that again?
I was just saying that's a rather interesting story.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, when I was saying shaded, and I said it was because I wasn't trying to shush you. I hope you know that I was figure out what to call the short film.
Yeah.
But with Shaded, it was definitely different. Even with The Green Room, like my most recent real legitimate like short film, it was hard because I had to schedule people like on the fly.
Oh, really?
But this one, yeah, it was very hard. The easiest part of the process was editing.
No, The Green Room is a documentary, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
What was the process of that film? And,
complete opposite of Shaded, the one we just finished working on. With that one, I just, called You Can't Take It With You in my sophomore year.
Yeah.
And I remember that after that show, I had to leave the group for a while, and it really just kind of like, for some, every, you know, the next morning, the first morning and the rest of the days after that, after I'd left the group, which just weren't the same, you know, your days are different, everything's changed, removed a huge chunk of your day every day. So you kind of feel like a plant without water. Really had more of an impact than I thought it was going to, which was interesting. And I was like, if it has the same impact for many other people. So I thought it'd be interesting to see a movie on that. And a lot of, like, you know, Indie Mogul and Film Riot, those guys are like my indie filmmaking idols, pretty much. I actually got to meet Griffin in New York shortly after doing the Green Room. Or no, just before doing the Green Room, which is actually pretty cool. I was in the process of pre-production with it. But I remember that on these two shows, I'd heard someone say, make the movie you want to see. Hey, so I'm going to make it. And I went to New York, had a good time, met Griffin, and came back. And then I started filming. It was when I was scheduling everybody on the fly. I just kind of left my equipment in the theater for like 3 months. And then got all this B-roll and got people to send me all kinds of pictures and videos and stuff that they had. And some of them are real funny. This one is like the number one clip that I love. I have it on my phone. I have it on my computer. It's backed up. I do not want to lose it.
Of course.
It's just this one video. I'm playing the guitar and I have my buddy Josh, who's like our third slash fourth person in our group. Our buddy Muhammad. He just did an interview fairly recently on DePaul Radio.
Oh, wow.
Funny story. Goes by the name Meticulous in the music industry, so give him a listen.
Of course.
The third person, then Josh is like our fourth, and right now Muhammad's off at college, so it's me, Neo, and Josh. And he, on this, you know, metal bucket, and then Muhammad starts kind of singing, and our buddy Joe sings with him like a background singer.
Yeah.
And Neo is just sitting there recording the whole thing. We went into this whole song. It's actually in the green room if you watch it. It's right, it's somewhere right around the middle. Another topic. But it's such a good, you just kind of know that it's a close group of people when you watch it.
No.
I loved that. I made sure that that got in the film. And watching it afterwards, I'm really glad that I did that.
No, I wanted to ask, because of that story, is there ever moments that make you question this choice of career and choice of hobby?
Absolutely.
Really?
You know, filmmaking seems like such a glorious hobby to people who've never really, like, done it, or don't know people who've done it, or don't really know the process, you know? But when you get down to the roots of it, when you really dig and work your fingers to the bone, you know, in the end, to put it totally straightforward and as simple as possible, it sucks.
Really? But
when you say it sucks and you just leave it at that, it doesn't sound right. You kind of just know the process of filmmaking. It's really hard. You have to schedule anywhere from two upwards of over 100 people, depending on what you're doing, to be at the same place at the same time, sometimes in different states. Like, even short films like Ballistic were filmed in Los Angeles and Texas and had over 100 people on set at one point. That's an indie film. Mm-hmm. It's an indie short film at that. And so, I mean, it's definitely really hard because you always have things that go wrong. You might lose something you need, or you may not be able to do something due to scheduling, or it just doesn't work. So in your changing your plans, you're constantly doing things on the fly, it's very stressful. That's a good way to put it. It's really stressful and it's really hard.
All right.
And then sometimes the things you just have your heart set on doing, that just really can ruin your day if you let it. But in the end, you know, you come out with this great set of friendships with these people you've been working with, and this knowledge that you didn't have before of how to handle situations and how to do things that maybe you or had no idea you could even do. And you have this thing that you wrote and you put blood, sweat, and tears into, in some cases, literally. it just makes it all that more special. And that really just, when you take the fact that the process, like, technically sucks, that other stuff on the other end of the scale, it just outweighs it by like 5 million. It's so worth it if you really are passionate about it and are willing to put in the hours to do it.
Well, thank you so much. I think that's a beautiful answer to a question, to a beautiful end of this show. I want to thank you again so much for being here, Banjo Carmichael.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate this.
I appreciate you being here. So again, thank you so much, and thank you to all our listeners. Again, this was IndieWood on KPCRadio.com. I'm your host, Steve Lopez. And wow, we actually did an online interview. It's amazing. Again, thank you, Banjo.
Pulled it off.
And all of you, have a wonderful day. Thank you.